Welcome to A New Dawn with Pastor Alberto Santiago, Senior Pastor of New Dawn Ministries in North Miami, Florida. Today's lesson is, Breakthrough is the Byproduct of Perseverance. Let's join Pastor Santiago in session now.
I'm going to say that one more time. You are a possessor of breakthrough. You don't need to wait on somebody. You can cause breakthrough. And so that's why I spoke about attitudes, and our attitude is important concerning breakthrough in our lives, because when it seems that we're facing this wall, this door, this impossibility in our lives, we need to learn that there are principles that God has given us to cause breakthrough in every and any situation that confronts us. Amen? How many of you have confronted walls? Doors, locked doors, or impossibilities that you say, and not, I'm not talking about a seasonal one, I'm talking about the last 10 years of your life, it seems like you've been hitting this door, and all of a sudden, I just taught you that because of the right attitude and because of the Holy Spirit, you can cause breakthroughs in your life that you never experienced before. When a breakthrough comes, it will never leave you the same. And so when we speak of breakthrough, we're speaking about something that we couldn't do previously. But when it breaks through, when you're breaking through, all of a sudden, you begin to experience the things that you couldn't experience before. Amen? And so this week, I want to talk about perseverance, or breakthrough, the byproduct of perseverance. And I think it's going to be beneficial. Romans chapter 4, verse 2 says like this. For if Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. I'm going to repeat verse 2 again. For if Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was counted to him what? For righteousness. Somebody say, for righteousness. For righteousness. And so I want you to look at this thing of perseverance. Say, perseverance. I don't want you to see perseverance as a work that you do to deserve something from God. I don't want you to think, I need to persevere so that God will bless me. I don't want you to see perseverance like that. I want you to see perseverance as a, let's call it like this, as a discipline that we all need to develop in our lives. See it as a byproduct, or see it as something that, because God has blessed you, you want to persevere. See perseverance as a fuel of grace, as something that God has already given you. Don't see it as something that you're trying to obtain. See it as something that I want to walk in a consistent lifestyle, or a persevering lifestyle every day of my life. And we're living in a generation where, in a time in our lives where people, very few people persevere. In fact, you see marriages that few marriages are persevering, because at the sign of first of any trouble or tribulation, the first thing we think is, of course, it's divorce. So we don't see people persevering these days. Hello? I said, we don't see many people persevering this day. It's not a popular subject to persevere. I see many people who start things but never finish it, because they don't understand the cost or the price it will take to actually walk out in that perseverance, or walk in what you believe. And so many people are trying to persevere as to say, if I persevere, then I'm going to impress God. And I've already preached to you that you already are pleasing to God. Not many people believe that. I said, you are pleasing to God. I'm going to say it one more time. Maybe I get some people to believe that, because maybe someone is having issue thinking that they're trying to please God. I said, you already are pleasing to God. And because you're pleasing to God, now you understand that if I am pleasing to God, then I can live a life of perseverance. I can live a life that know that what I started today, I will finish. Why? Because I have grace. Say, I have grace. See, I cannot persevere if I'm always thinking that I have to do something to please God. I don't do anything to please God any longer. I do things because I'm already pleasing to God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I used to try to persevere. Now I just persevere. I used to try to impress God. Now I don't need to impress God. Why? Because His love for me is so perfect. I don't need to do anything or qualify myself to deserve His love. He already loves me just the way I am. Can someone say amen to that? And so many people struggle persevering is because they're doing it based on the fact that they're trying to get God's attention or to prove to God that they deserve to be blessed. Can I tell you that you were blessed before you even deserved it? You weren't blessed based on what you did. You were blessed based on what He did. Can someone say amen? And so religion has taught us, and you know, we get saved and they say, come to Jesus and everything is going to be all right. And this and that. And they give us, they feed us all these things and then everything is good. But the moment we come to church, then they give us these laws. And says, all right, if you want to, if you want this, if you want the blessing of God, if you want this, then you're going to have to learn to do this. And they give you 5 points or they give you 5 rules. And number one, and they give you a formula. But I discovered that formulas don't work. We don't serve God with formulas. We serve God through a relationship. And so you say, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to persevere like this. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray in the morning. Yeah, I'm going to do that. And then I'm going to have 30 minutes of worship time. And then I'm going to have another 20 minutes of meditation. Okay, that's an hour and a half. Okay. Good. I'm doing good. And then as I'm going to work, I'm going to make sure I put the pastor's message on. I'll put a pastor's CD to make sure I get the word. So that's 40 minutes on the road. So that's nice. 2 hours and 20 minutes total. So I'm doing good. And so then, at midday, I'm at least meditate on Him. And so we put all these formulas together and we figure out later on that those things don't work. Because the basis of those things that we do are always trying to impress God. Do I believe in prayer? Absolutely. We need to pray. We need to fast. We need to seek His face. But I come and I realize that now I don't have to do it. Now I get to do it. And so I was telling a class maybe like a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. I said, what happens? You say, well, you know, I have to get up and I have to pray because if I don't pray, you know, something is wrong and I'm not pleasing God and I'm in disobedience. Really? What happens if in that morning, the Holy Spirit wakes you up and says, right now, I want you to get up, get dressed, and I want you to go to the hospital. I want you to go see this person. I want you to pray for them because they're waiting for you. The problem is you're too busy trying to obey God and not being led by Him. Because he says, no, but I have to pray first. No, I want you to get dressed, get ready, go to the hospital, and go pray for that person because they're waiting for you. But the problem is we're too busy trying to obey and please God when God is trying to what? Lead us every day of our lives. And never try to go to God and qualify yourself. Lord, I'm a tither, and you have to. You don't have to do nothing. God does what He does with who He wants to do it. God is sovereign all by Himself. And He don't need us to exist. We need Him. And without Him, the Bible says we can do nothing. So we see that in Romans chapter 4 verse 2. That Abraham was made righteous because he what? Because he what? Because he what? Believe. Say believe. Now, I said, Pastor, what that has to do with perseverance as well. I'm going to show you in a minute because Genesis chapter, I think, 12, it speaks about that Abraham was in a foreign land with his father, and God says, Abraham, I want you to leave what? I want you to leave your father's house and go to a place that I will show you. And if we read the scriptures there in Genesis, it said that he left and God promised him that he would give him a son. He says, and this land, when you get to Canaan, I'm going to give this land to your children or to your heir. Now, here's the problem. You're 75 years old. Say 75. And God begins to speak to you about a child. And you don't. And supposedly you're past already the age. Maybe they were able in those days to have children even later. Of course, it must have been. But listen, 75 years old, and God speaks to Abram and says, I want you to leave and I want you to go. And then he arrives at Canaan, and Canaan, God speaks to him, says, I'm going to give you a child, and I'm going to give your heirs this land. He gives them what? A promise. Say a promise. Now, the problem with this is that Abram was 75 years old, and the manifestation of that word, the breakthrough, didn't come until 24 years later. So the question becomes, what if God says, I'm going to do something to you or for you? Are you willing to persevere, or will you quit on God? Because I notice that the moment God begins to release a word over our lives, I'm not saying that God can't do something instantly. But what I am saying, that what happens if that promise, God says, I'm going to wait a while, it's going to take 24 years for it to manifest. See, because some breakthroughs in our life will require perseverance. I'm preaching better than what you're shouting. That's okay. That's okay. I said, some, listen, John, some breakthroughs will take perseverance. I'm going to say that because I want you to be awake up to the reality that some of you are thinking, well, this is going to happen tomorrow and God can do it tomorrow. But can I tell you, there are things in your life that God will require or expect for you to persevere, even during the hard times. Now, listen to this. I'm not saying persevere to get it. I'm saying you persevere because he's already ordered it. I'm going to say that one more time. I'm not saying to persevere as to qualify to receive the promise. I'm saying to persevere because he's already what? Spoken it. We forget that we have an enemy. Did you hear what I said? You have an enemy. I know you're all cute and everything. Your husband loves you. But the devil hates your guts. I know you think you all that and a bag of chips and everything else, and you're looking all fine and you're smelling good, but the devil hates you. Let me just be real with you. There is an enemy that wants to destroy you. And the reason we persevere is not for God, but we persevere because there is an enemy that is trying to obstruct what God has what? Ordained over our lives. And if we don't understand that there's an enemy and that we have to persevere because of an enemy, then we think our fight or our battle is against the person or the brother or the sister, when the reality is there is a spiritual world that is coming against us to stop the manifestation of what God has ordered for our lives. So then Romans chapter 4 says, you know what? You're going to be made righteous by what you believe. Now, it's interesting that the Bible, in fact, let me show it to you. I want you to see perseverance as a discipline that we want to walk in, not as a work. But listen to this, watch this. In fact, go to Romans, let me see if I find it, hold on. Actually, go to Romans chapter 4, verse 13. Are you there? Romans chapter 4, verse 13. If you don't have a Bible, that means you know the Bible by heart. Or you got the screen up there. No, okay. It says, for the promise that he would be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Let's say that again. The promise that he would be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through what? Through the... In other words, you're not going to receive this promise based on what you do, but you're going to receive it through the righteousness of. So in other words, what you believe is greater than what you do. Can someone say amen to that? What you believe is greater than what you do. I'm going to say that one more time. What you believe is greater than your works. Now, I'm going to tell you, there are works, but I'm going to clarify in a minute so that you would know. Verse 14. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made what? Come on, follow along. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made and the promise made of no effect. In other words, if you think you're going to get the promises of God based on what you do, then faith has been made what? Void.
We'll be right back with the second half of our message. Don't forget to visit our website at newdawnusa.info. Here you can see the times and dates of our services, a video archive of past messages, and so much more. We now return you to Breakthrough is the Byproduct of Perseverance, here on A New Dawn.
That's why the enemy comes against you. You don't know about he comes. He comes to distort everything that God says over your life. And then all of a sudden, you're believing what the enemy says. You're believing what your parents said. You won't amount to anything. You know good. You this, you that, you that. And here you go. You hear the word, and you have a pastor preaching to you that God's going to bless you. And then you have another word that you heard 30 years ago, and yet that word seems to be stronger than the word you're hearing today. And God is saying, I've called you to be blessed. I will make your name great. Imagine that word God gives Abraham, and yet his father would say another word. You ain't going to amount to anything. And there's a competition. What's the fight? It's a fight between two seeds. There's some people here that has heard from God, and they're like, I don't know, because I don't think God understands my life. Why you think he spoke the word? Because he understands your life. And the only way to break the cycle is through a word. Did you hear what I just said? A word has the power to break the cycle. But if the word is not released, guess what? You're going around in circles thinking, when is this going to happen? When? Can you get a word? Because in the word contains enough faith for you to stand and persevere. I'm preaching better than what you're shouting. That's okay. That's okay. Babe, can you please say amen for me? Thank you, babe. That amen was something else. Let me finish. Amen? Are you still with me? I'm almost done when I'm finished. Being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform. In other words, here. Is... when God releases a word, like he did over Abraham, 24 years earlier, Abraham has to be convinced. Now, convinced means I am persuaded that what God has said is going to come to pass. And convinced means unmovable, unshakable. I'm still planted. I'm not going anywhere. I'm fully convinced. And no matter what you say or the opinions or the culture or society or the news say, I am convinced that what God has said, listen now, that what he said, he is able to perform. I'm going to take the pressure off of you. You want some pressure off of you? I'm going to give you a spiritual massage. A massage. I once in a while, I go out, right, babe, we go get massages once in a while. We do a couple's massage, and all the tension has gone. Oh, I feel good. And every time I go in there, they give me this big old Russian woman. I don't know why. I said, man, why can't, this is a big old woman. And she's like, but I tell you, I feel a lot better. Well, I'm going to give you a massage today. I'm going to release the stress off of you. Can I tell you that? You want some spiritual massage? Come on, get your back ready. Come on. I'm ready to, I'm going to do a massage. You hear this? I'm going to release the stress. Here he goes. Guess what? He is the one that will perform his word. All you have to do is stand and be convinced that he will do it. It didn't say, look, Manny, I see you. This is your week, man. This is your week. Being fully convinced that what he, capital H, brother, not you, he had promised, he was able to perform it. In other words, all you have to do is sit there and watch him do it. No, that's too good to be true. No, just sit there and watch him do it. Just sit there and watch him do it. See, most people think that walking in faith means sitting around. Yeah, you sit in the spirit, but there's still works to be done so that man can glorify God. But guess what? I am at peace. I am not responsible for God to perform his word. If he doesn't perform it, then he is a liar. And he is not a man to lie. He is not a man to lie. He can't lie. In other words, it would mean that he would have to go against his own very nature and say, I ain't going to do it. No. That's not the God I serve. He will perform his word. He didn't say, believe me, then go and perform it. No, he said, believe me and be convinced, and I will perform his word, or hit my word. So that means, dude, when you want to have a baby, you don't got to do nothing. Zuli? Why you stop playing, man? Somebody say, he is able to perform what he has spoken. So perseverance is this. Can I tell you, can I give you another massage? The perseverance comes this. Perseverance doesn't mean you do something. Perseverance means you, listen, you stay in faith. In other words, I trust that his word is perfect over my life. Some people have so much pressure, think I have to do something. And when they try and they come for, or they fall short, they get discouraged. And you know what they do? This gospel don't work. I might as well go to the world. And if I'm going to sin, I might as well go just throw myself into that sin. And they become worse. You know why? Because they're trying to do it on their own strength. And it was never meant to be that way. Listen. I'm going to say something that it might be controversial. But I've noticed ever since 2008, and I've heard the message of grace, I'm telling you, it has released, taken the pressure of my performance. No longer do I have to try. Now I just walk. I'm not trying to serve God. I'm just serving God. I'm not trying not to sin. Just don't sin. But if I sin, I have an advocate with the Father. Can I tell you that now the road, it's just, I'm just being led. And let's just God do what he has to do. And I just follow. And some people have so much pressure thinking that the word, because here's what happens. Listen. There's a word. I mean, you remember, I declared, the Lord used me to give you a word about you and Gabby a couple of weeks ago, right? And Dunami, sorry. He didn't go and say, okay, well, if God's going to use me to be a revivalist, I'm going to go and invite myself and start calling every pastor in town to see who wants to invite this revival. He didn't go do that. He already got an invitation for next Sunday. And guess who's going? This wonderful young man right here. Guess what? He's going, right? Tag teaming, right? But here's what happened. They did go and try to perform the word. The word was released. 2 weeks later, they get a phone call. Did you hear what I'm saying? He doesn't have to perform it. All he has to do is walk in it. It's walk. You just walk. Every day you walk it. You're persevering. You're just doing your thing and you're just loving on God. All of a sudden, the door begins to open. Why? The word has been released. The word has, Apostle David said, Codigos, has a key that opens every door. And the word is released, opens a door. You just start walking through it. And guess what? You get an invitation. I need drummers. We need musicians. Because I don't know how long he's going to be here. I have to check with his calendar if he's going to be around. Because maybe he can't play a lead service that day. Guess what? We need other leaders. We need other worshipers. We need more musicians. We need drummers. We need, right, Jonathan? We need them because, well, guess what? When God begins to raise people in this house, we need other people to replace them so that they continue the work of God. Our job is to prepare people for the work of the ministry. Your job, minister, is to prepare people for the work of the ministry. That's why you're going to start coming on Thursday, so that you can be prepared for the work of the ministry. Are you still with me? And so if we're going to persevere, listen to this. Perseverance will require, listen to this, a discipline of lifestyle. Not to impress, but because God has done a work in me. So why I persevere? I told you earlier that there's an enemy, right? An enemy. Imagine if every time you went to walk, you found someone resisting every step you take. But because you can't see it, you doubt that it's an enemy and you attribute it to life. Then you're missing the fact that the enemy, if God has a plan for you according to Jeremiah 29, then the enemy has a plan. And the Bible says he had come to kill, steal, and destroy. And so guess what, Manny? Every word or every step you've taken for the last 10 years, 12 years, there's an opposition. The opposition is just to try to get the seed of the seed of faith so that you won't believe for your transplant. And so, no, God will not perform. Maybe it's not going to happen. And what people don't know is that when you were supposed to get it several weeks ago, it was a report, and the report was wrong. Listen to this. He didn't get a transplant because it was a wrong report. Tell me that's not demonic. See, if he sees that as like, oh, man, no. You don't understand. There's an enemy. There's a devil that's trying to stop every step you take. Trust me. You pray in the spirit? You pray? He got in the car. I'm sharing it. He got in the car. You're like, what the heck is going on? Frustration, right? Okay. And all this, why? You're believing God. You're right there. You're ready to cross. Your breakthrough is right there. And you get a phone call, a negative or a wrong report that say you can't get it because this and this. Then they discover that it was not even true. Don't tell me there's a devil. There's a devil. And so, what do you do then for the next 2 weeks? Will you say, it will never happen to me? Will you say, maybe it's not meant to happen? In the middle of that, God gives us, say God. God gives us a little bait. This is some gum, right? So God will keep you persevering. Here go. Gum, right? It's like a refreshing. But here's what happens is the only reason he had that little bait there was so that he would continue to persevere. Because the enemy knows that the enemy knows if he gets you to doubt or to fall into unbelief, you just canceled what God has said and you give place to the enemy. So, what was the bait? That's not the bait. That was the bait. That's not the bait. Come on, prophet. What was the bait? What's his name? Tell me his name. What's his name? What's his name? Josiah. See? Not only before, now you really have a reason to live. Now you have a reason to live. Because 10, 12 years earlier, you didn't have no baby, right? But in the middle of all this going on, where everything is coming forth, everything is happening, you're going to get a transfer. You might not. You're going to get it. All of a sudden, in the middle of that, God says, I'm going to give you a son now. Now I'm going to do it. Why? I'm going to give you a reason to live. Tisha, are you hearing what I'm saying? That's how you persevere. God will give you a reason. What's the reason? I'm going to live to see my children and my children's children, and I will cast an influence and speak a word, and I will serve God. Guess what? You have a reason to fight. You have a reason to get up in the morning. You have a reason to believe. You have a reason to say what God has said, he will make it come to pass. Why? He's talking about another legacy, another generation, and you have to live so that you can pass along what God has given you. You hear what I'm saying? So you're just not having a boy. You're producing the next generation that will carry your vision even when you don't have enough life to fulfill it. Your son will continue what you start. Every time you have a baby, a son or a boy, son or a girl, a daughter or a boy, every time, it's a mark of a new season in your life. Every time. When you have a baby, every time, something. The firstborn means something, and everyone after that means something. They mark a season in your life. Somebody just said, I'm going to have me a bunch of kids. You're going to have what? Todo es posible. Tell your neighbor, neighbor, God loves you enough to give you grace so that you can persevere.
Did you enjoy today's message? Like us on Facebook at New Dawn Live and leave a comment on how you felt about today's lesson. You can also follow us on Twitter at New Dawn Pastor. Remember to join us next time for a new teaching here on a New Dawn.